Okay, Rabbi said today's daf is daf Lamed Dalid. We are holding six lines from the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara begins Gufa Madlikin Bepas Ubeshemen Shotruma Shinitmeis. As we've learned over the last few days, a Kohen has the right, of course, to eat and to drink Truma Tehoira. A Kohen similarly has the right to use Truma Tameh. He cannot eat it, he cannot drink it. What do you use Truma Tameh for? So if it's the type of food item, which is flammable, combustible, you use it for fire. And that's perfectly permissible for the Kohen. Truma Tameh is lahasaka, and he has hanoah in the form of burning it. What this Gemara is now introducing, which is really a repeat of what we had yesterday, that it doesn't only apply to normal items that are combustible, but the same thing applies to madlikin v'pas. You can go and take a piece of bread, which is truma bread. Unfortunately, it touched an avela, a sheretz, it became tamei. What do you do with it? You can go and burn it. Same thing, shemen shel truma. You can also go and burn. You'll recall, right before Gufa, the last two, three lines of yesterday's blot, Abaye said, L'chayr, I have a takola problem. And so the Gemara said, Nishkeferlech. You know what you can do is pass zorek lebena etzim. You can go and take the bread and throw it among the firewood. In other words, you have a storage bin where you keep your firewood, throw the bread in there. Nobody's going to eat from that bread subsequently because it's going to be schmutzig and dirty and fire. And therefore, nothing to worry about. As far as the shemen shel truma, you also don't have to worry lidei takala. Takala means that a person by mistake might use it thinking that it's truma tahoyer and he might eat from the pas or drink from the shemen or use the shemen for salad dressing, because take the shemen and pour it into a clean ma'us and then nobody's going to want to use it for food or for that matter for smearing on their bodies. They're only going to go and use it for purposes of fire, for burning, for hasaka. Exactly. So that's an easy way to take care of these takola problems with the pas and with the shemen. Is zokti mar nachmo. Let's go from madlikim pas v'shemen shel truma shenitmes. Abaye omer mishmei v'chizki. Avrav omer tevei Reb Yitzchak bar mar to omer Rav Huna loishon ola pas. Yeah, pas. This is a good idea. Avol chiti loy. But not if you're talking about wheat. In other words, you have stalks of wheat that before you had a chance to go and convert into flour. Guess what happens? It touched an avela sheretz. It became tamei. Then you cannot use that for firewood. Why not? Because a person is going to see these chitim around. What is he going to go and do? He's going to go and make them into flour and use it for bread, use it for challah, and he will forget that this is truma tamei. Chitim don't allow for it. Don't allow. Now, what's the reason? Why is chitim different than pas? So if you look at the very last Rashi in the bottom of the Amud, Rashi says first, ela pas. Last line. The chizorek lei mim isa. If you throw it into the firewood, it's going to become moist automatically. So us lemechli, nobody's going to want to eat it. Avochiti inam chizorek lo lei mim isi. Even if you throw it among the firewood, it doesn't get mius. Now, why doesn't it get mius? Presumably because chitim in the natural state anyway happen to be quote unquote dirty. Because after all, you cut them from the ground, so the bottom of it certainly has earth on it, and then you left it on the field, and then you collected it together, so probably some earth came with it. So anyway, it's probably dirty. And you don't eat the chitim in their pure state of chitim. Of course, you're going to go and clean it, and you're going to go and do dosh, and you're going to go and do zora, and you're going to go and do all the other processes that you do to convert it from chitim into soles, into flour. So in between, it'll be cleansed probably a number of times. So the fact that it gets a little bit dirty with the lumber, that is not enough to take away the takola issue. And therefore says Abaye and Rava with all those other mani yamrim, chiti loy, there you cannot leave it for burning. No, even chiti, the same thing applies. That you can also put it aside. The very issue that we're talking about. Umeister. Was mein Schlikse Umeister? Rashi says Schlikse means that you go and cook it. You boil these chitim. You boil them intensely. After you finish boiling them, then you go and throw them among the Eitzim. And then, of course, you're not going to go and use it for firewood today because they happen to be very soggy and wet. But if you leave it there for a week, by that time it'll dry out nicely. But no one is going to want to take those chitim and use them for processing into flour, into baking pas or challah. Why? Because it's moz. Since you put it among the firewood when it was nice and wet and soggy and it was cooked, so then you've really cooked these chitim well enough that they're going to become moz, they're going to give me shmutzik, and you're not going to even want to get close to them. Now, just like Rav Ashi said that elsewhere, b'shliksa me'ista, Hochanan here too, he says b'shliksa me'ista. Now, before we continue on, so we have to understand, so what was the first svara? Why did it say back on the Amud Beis that the first man, the Yama, which was Rav Huna, said, Loishonu elapas, abchiti loishema yobu behenli de takola. Why didn't he agree to Rav Yochanan? That you can go it like Rav Ashi said, b'shliksa me'ista, l'choy l'maisa kum t'chos t'zelba. That everybody agrees that chitim, which are nice and pure and clean, do not leave them for purposes of firewood, because asli de takala. But if they're shmutzik and they're with the firewood, then you don't have to worry. So what's the machlokes? Doesn't everybody agree? And Rashi says on top, the Rav Huna is still choishish more than Rabbi Yochanan. In which respect is he choishish more? He's afraid to ma'ochel hu mekame delish lekinu oy b'sho'osh sholkan. Avad Rav Huna agrees to Rabbi Yochanan and agrees to Rav Ashi that after it's already cooked and it's thrown into the lumber and thrown into the firewood, nobody's going to go and touch it. Nobody's going to get close to it. But Rav Huna says, you don't go and, right after the thing becomes tamei, you don't immediately go and say, okay, let's cook it up so we can use it for firewood. There may be some interim period between the tumah and the cooking, a day, a week, or whatever. During that period of time, people will forget, even though it's been designated for cooking, and therefore for firewood, in between somebody might come to use it and make it into flour, and you'll have a problem of takala.
It doesn't make sense. You'll cook it so that you can use it for firewood? Just burn it already. I mean, why are you cooking these in order to spoil them by putting them in the...
Very good question. So my assumption is we're talking about a very large amount of chitim. We're talking about 150 bushels. If you're going to go and burn them all now, I don't need that. I just need it for my fireplaces because it's cold tonight. It's 20 degrees. So for tonight, I'm going to need one bushel of chitim. I only need 150. Therefore, you're going to use it over a period of a month or two or three. So cook them all, and then you can go put it all among the firewood and use them as you need it. Zokti Mora, you just said, Rav Ashi said, Kida Omar somewhere else, Hochanami over here. Zokti Mora, David, be so kind, please put yourself on mute. Zokti Mora, Vahichi Itma de Rav Ashi. Not David Fishman, but David Rees. So, Moichel, please put yourself on mute. Zokti Mora, Vahichi Itma de Rav Ashi. Where do we find Rav Ashi? Aho, the Yom Rav Ovin, Bar Rav Acha, Rav Yitzchak, Abishol, Gabo, Shol Beis Rebbe Hoya. We had Abishol, as you remember, yesterday. And he was a Gabel. A Gabel means the person who does the kneading with a K. In Yiddish, tzikneten. The person who would knead the dough with Beis Rebbe, in other words, in the house or in the yeshiva of Rebbe, hoya. Voyim chamin loy chamin b'chitin shel truma t'meya lolosh behen isa b'tahara. You had to go and bake from time to time new breads, new cakes, new chalas, whatever. And you needed fuel, so they would be mechamen loichamen. How would they go and heat up the hot water to go and add to the isa, to the dough, to be able to knead the new flour to go and use it for baking new chalas and new cakes, etc. So in mechamen loichamen, b'chitin shel truma t'meya. Oh, they use a chitin shel truma t'meya as the firewood. So now you have, Baruch Hashem, the hot water, and take the hot water, you mix it, and now lolish behen isa b'tahara. Freti Moramai, nechush dil ma'asi behuli de takola. If somebody's going to go and use those chitim for firewood, somebody else might say, hey, we're missing a little bit of flour for making our huge cake or bread or whatever. Let's use some of those chitim. Maybe it's going to come li de takola. It's talking about the fact that they cooked all of the bad chitim, meaning all the chitim that became truma to meya, and now they, after they cooked it, they threw it there among the firewood. Don't have to worry. Now, next time you open up that shed to take out some firewood, you're going to find those boiled chitim. You're going to say, ugh, it looked horrible, looked terrible. You don't have to worry about any takala. Okay. We start a new sugya now. New in the sense it's not related to what we were just talking about, but it talks again, legabi hilchois truma, and specifically truma tmeya that was replanted. In other words, truma tahira can be eaten by kahan. Truma tmeya you can use li dehasaka, you can use for a fire. Is there another etza? Take truma tmeya and replant it in the ground, and now it's going to regenerate. What is the story with those gidulim? Will they have a din of truma? Will they have a din of chulin? Will they be tummy? Will they be tahar?
They'll be tevil first, obviously.
I use the word chulin to exclude from truma. Okay. And not only do I do that, Rashi himself does. Rashi later on, please look at tevil gidulav mutarim. Do you see the Rashi tevil gidulav mutarim? Please go to the last three lines of the Rashi. What does Rashi say? Avagidule tevel. Tevel means that you took tevel and you put it into the ground and you replanted it. And it grew out now. What does Rashi say about those gidulim? The last three lines of that Rashi. Avagidule tevel. What does Rashi say?
Right.
You have the Rashi which begins, Tevel gidul of mutarim?
Yeah, but
okay, go in.
Tevachulenhein.
Ah, those are the words. Avagidule tevachulenhein. If you put...
No, thank you.
There's a Rashi in the middle of the Amid. Tevel Gidulav Mutarim. Last three lines of Rashi. Rashi says the words Gidulay Tevel. You take Tevel and you put it into the ground. And you replant it. And now it grows again. What are those Gidulam called? Now, what would you and I call it? New Tevel. Because you take Tevel. Tevel is Tevel is Tevel. You regret. Says Rashi Chulenhein. What means Chulenhein? Laafuke, that it's not Truma. Avada, Rashi agrees. Rashi was an Elachid. Rashi agrees if you take Tevel and you plant it, then you're going to have new Tevel, and you have to give new Trumas, new Mises. We only mean Chulen vis-a-vis that it doesn't have a din of Truma.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Getting back to our Gemara. So Gemara said, Nochem, we have here a meeting of the minds, and we have a question that is posited to them. What was the question? Abai bar Avin, Hananya bar Avin, perhaps they were brothers, I don't know. Tanu, they were learning Trumais Bei Rabba. Rabba had a yeshiva, and in that Zman, they were learning Mesechtes Trumais in Seder's Roy. Pogge Behu, Rabba bar Master. So Rabba bar Master met them and said to them, Omlehu, Mayim Rid Betrumais de Beimar. You're coming back from the yeshiva today. Well, what chidushim, what halachas, what did you learn today in Mesechtes Trumas? Omulay, so they said to him, well, my kashalach, obviously something is bothering you. You know, you don't usually greet us that way and ask us what we're learning in the yeshiva. So what's your question? Omulahu, I'll tell you. I was just learning the following Mishnah, and I don't understand it. Tanan, state in the Mishnah Mesechtes Trumais. Shesile Trumais Shenitmu. Shesile means things which were grown, which are called truma. Literally, the word shesila means saplings or plants that were grown. But we don't mean necessarily plants. When you think of plants, you think of like a flower pot and plants growing there. We mean produce of truma, shenitmu, that became tame. Rashi gives a couple of examples. For instance, kruv or creation. Kruv is cabbage, creation are leeks. Okay, they grew. They cut them, they were harvested, water fell on them, so it became Zmukhsh al-Kabal Tumma, and guess what happens? They touched a sheretz or an avail, and they became Tumma. Mishoslan. And now the Balabas decided, you know what? I'm going to go and replant them in the ground. And he did that. And now new gidulim grew out of the original cabbage and the original leek. What's the status of those new gidulim, the new growth? Says the Mishnah, Tahoyr Melatame, they are Tahoyr. They are Tahoyr. Why are they Tahoyr? Says Rashi, because by planting it again in the ground, Batlan Mitoyras Oichel, they're no longer considered to be the old food that you had until now. They're considered to be like new seeds. It's a brand new. Ponim Chadosho is Ba'u Lekan, they are Tahoyr. But nevertheless, Shkoyach, Vasurin Milechoyl. Aba metuas nish eser. Even though it's tohar, you're not allowed to eat it. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us who's not allowed to eat it. So Rashi tells us, because solka daitach, the havamina was, that they are still considered to be tamei, and they're also lecha lakohanim. The kohanim are not allowed to go and eat it. And the obvious question is, we have now an oxymoron. We have an inconsistency. We have a contradiction in terms within toich kedei dibur in the same sentence. Because we're saying that as a result of the replanting, they are now, like Rashi said, botlu mitoyedas oichel, they are now brand new. Not chulin, I'm afraid to say that word. New tevel, they are not truma, botul mevutul. And yet, the Gemara says, basur milachol, you're not allowed to eat it. Why? Because it's tamei, and even the kehanim are not allowed to eat it. No, if the kehanim can't eat it because it's tamei, that means that it's still truma, and that it means that it's still tamei. So make up your mind. Is it tohoir milatami? Is it tohoir because it's brand new? Or is it the same truma that you had before and nobody can eat it, not even the kehanim? Once you tell me that it's tar, why can't the kehanim eat it? It's now tohar and it's fine. In fact, anybody can go and eat it, not only the kehanim. It's no longer truma. So they answered him that this is how Rabbah learned. Remember, this was in the yeshiva of Rabbah. This is how the Rosh Yeshiva, so to speak, of the yeshiva said. My asurim, when it says here, asurim milech, we don't mean the kahanim. Asurim lezorim. It's also for the zorim to eat. The kahanim can eat it because, in fact, it's tohoir. Tohoirim milatami. It's tohoir. It's truma tohoira. And therefore, kehanim can eat it. I said basur milechel. That means the zorim. Now, I don't understand why. After all, if you tell me it's batel mitoyres oichel, and therefore it's no longer tamei, lechay it's no longer truma either. Why are you telling me that the kehanim can eat it and the zorim cannot eat it? My kamashman gidule truma truma. It's coming to tell you the gidulim of truma remain truma. Yeah, but why? Says Rashi, not min ha-toira, it's midrabonon. Why the Chachamim make such a din? Because the Chachamim were scared. What will every Kohen, or for that matter, what will every Yisrael do if he has Truma Temeya? I have a wonderful idea. I'm going to go replant it in the ground. And now Panim Chadosh is Bolakan, it's going to become Tevel or Chulin, but it's not going to be Truma anymore. Everybody, you know what? That's such a good idea, I could even do it for Truma Tehoira. Anytime that I'm a Balbas and I have Truma, the Koyin hasn't come by for the last month or two, I think, you know what?
He replants it.
No produce comes out. And he's going to say, oh, it's Torah Milatami. Obviously, it's Batel Materis Oichel. And now, it'll be in the brand new Tevel. And I did a great job in untrumizing my Truma.
Laundering
the Truma. Laundering and making it dirty in the ground. Yes, but the laundry, and nevertheless. And now we can have now brand new Tevel. Chulin Amachayim. So that's what the Mishnah has to tell us. Midrabanan. The Rabbanan said, no, don't do that. Gidule truma truma. So even though minatoyra it's taka chulin tevel, it's no longer truma.
This is a gather.
A gzeiros that people shouldn't come to do this wonderful idea to go and replant the truma and be mevatel the term is truma, and therefore it remains also a zorim. That's the asurim melech zorim, but the kam can eat it, and in fact it's no longer tamei, it's tohoyr. Zoktimara, if that is, so this is what the two Talmud and the two sons of Rav Avin said to Rav Bar Masna. Rav Bar Masna said, so you're telling me that the chiddush of this Mishnah is Gidule Truma Truma? Tanina, we have an earlier Mishnah in the same perek in Masechtas Trumais where the Mishnah says Gidule Truma Truma. Oh, so we already have a Mishnah that tells us this din derabbanan, that the Rabbanan were concerned, and therefore they say that even though it becomes batel mitoyres oichel, but nevertheless it's also lizarim, it's only mut chadach shena Mishnah. Why do I have to have two Mishnayis in the same perek in Masechtas Trumas? If you look in the Masechtas Shas, both of them are in perek Tes. One Mishnah is Mishnah Dalet, the other Mishnah is Mishnah Zayin and Mishnah Tes, and so therefore they're both in the same parak. What do I have to have two Mishnayis telling you the exact same halach? Maybe you're going to tell me because Gidule Gidulin, maybe that's the Chiddush, that even Gidule Gidulin. What means Gidule Gidulin? So Rashi gives an example, for instance, of Bitzolim. Bitzolim, of course, are onions. what we look at when you buy in the store and what you use for cooking, etc., that's called a bulb of an onion, not a bulb that will shed light, but that's what it's called, a bulb. If you take these onions, the bulbs of the onions, and you plant them in the ground, says Rashi, eventually you can have 4 or 6 new bulbs of onions growing from that original onion. Wow. If you want to take a quick look at the Rashi, the Chitema, the Rashi is about 6-7 lines higher than our Gemara. The Chitema, hai asurim li lechel. The Dove she'en zarei kolik oma. We're talking about something where the seed doesn't totally deteriorate and dissipate and
consumed
and get consumed. Kingoin, bitzolim dakin, shekoyden, tzibish, similar to the Yiddish term, tzibilach, exactly. Ukishoyslin, achas, lavada, when you go and plant each one individually. Hey, noy sofais. They grow and they add umischabrois shisha v'dalid yachad. From one little tzibula, you can go and grow now another 4 or 6. V'hainu gidule gidul. That's what we mean gidule gidulim. Oisan hanoi sofis alein shloi hoyu truma me oilam. They were never truma because these are brand new bulbs. These are not the original one. V'gidulim atzmon kigoyin chesilei kruv shaholchem marchivin ho'alen harishoinim uban machadoshim oilam v'kelach. Rashi says you don't have to say only the garbe case of onions. What happens if you're talking about cabbage? What happens if you're talking about leeks? You're talking about other types of vegetables. So says Rashi, when you're talking about cabbage, if marchiven or alin horishoinim, if you see that the original leaves have grown larger and bigger, ubad machadoshim, or the stalks that are there, you have brand new ones, to oilim mekelach, that are growing out of the original roots or whatever of the cabbage, that's also gidula gidula. In other words, there are many different types of vegetables where you can conjure up different cases of gidula gidula. So now what's the din of gidula gidula? Ah, so maybe that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you, the din of gidula gidula. Ah, so says the Gemara, you're going to tell me gidula gidula, umayka mashma, that b'dava she'ein zarei kala. What means d'vash in zari kala? When normally when you go and plant seeds in the ground, seeds for wheat, seeds for barley, seeds for trees, for fruits, whatever, any type of seeds that you put in the ground. If you were to go afterwards a week later or a month later and look down in the ground to find those seeds, you're not going to find those seeds anymore. Zari kala, the zera, the seeds, kala have been consumed, meaning that they have totally disintegrated, deteriorated, dissipated. There's no, you don't see them anymore. Of course, you do see the produce that grows from those seeds, but the seeds are done. Mashenke, in the case of, for instance, the bitzolim, that's what Rashi started off, it's dova she'ein zarei kala. Ein zarei kala means that you plant the onion in the ground, and you can see that same onion there 3 months later. Yeah, there are probably worms, and there are probably bugs, and who knows what's going on down there. But in addition to the original bulb, you have another 4 or 6 bulbs which have grown out, but the original bulb is still there in whatever form you find it. So that's called ein zarei kala. So it's what you want. He's trying to tell you not only gidule trumar truma, but even the gidulim of the gidulim. In other words, I originally had my patch of onions. I went and gave my truma for the kain. Unfortunately, the truma became tame. I took that onion and I planted in the ground. The new bulbs that are going to go and grow from that are going to be the gidulim of the original gidulim. And like Rashi said, those new gidulim were never, ever truma. They were never in existence until now. So kedaita chamina, there shouldn't be a din of truma on them. So maybe that's the chiddush. My kamash lebedovish in darei kola, that there is this concept of gidule gidul. But frankly, more, but if that's the case on Nami Tanina, for that we also have a Mishnah, also in Mesechtes Trumas. What does it say in the Mishnah? Hatevel gidulav mutarin bedovish zarei kola. When you're not talking about the case of truma that you planted, but if you replanted tevel, its gidulam are mutar. Now, what do we mean that they're mutter? Says Rashi, it's mutter ba'achila. How is it mutter ba'achila? I wasn't able to eat the original tevel. How can I eat the new tevel? Says Rashi, we don't mean that they're mutter forever. It means that you can eat it b'derech aroi until you do miruach bikri. In other words, this tevel that you planted had already been mechuyev in trumas amaisus because he had already done the miruach. It was roya pnei habayis, and you're supposed to give the trumas amaisus. And instead, what did the farmer do? He said, before I give my trumas and maizes, I'm going to go and take some of this tevel, I'm going to replant it in the ground to have new tevel growing out of it. He shouldn't have done that. He has a chiyuv to give trumas and maizes, but that's what he did. So what's the din? The gidulim that grow out of that tevel mutarim, you're allowed to eat b'derech aro'i until the next miruach, until you go and have a new chiyuv of trumas and maizes, mutarim. And b'dovah shezarei kolam means where the original seeds, for instance, if this tevel was wheat and you had planted wheat seeds, the wheat seeds have dissipated, they don't exist anymore, and now the tevel you plant in the ground, the new gidulim came out, then you're allowed to go and eat it until miruach. Like the onions that we're talking about, even the new onions that grow out of the original onions, which had no shaykhis to the original onions, nevertheless, it's dovish in zarikola. They have the status of tevel now, that you cannot eat it as if you had done the miruach and as if you had cleaned it all up and made it all nice and pretty, because of the fact that it's dovish in zarikola. So it's a gidul from that original. And he can't even bederech aroi. Ah, so I see, therefore, from that Mishnah that we have the halacha of gidulim, not only gidulim, but also gidule gidulim. So now Rav Bamasna says to these two, Abai bar Avin, Rav Chananya bar Avin, you have to explain to me why we need this Mishnah. If the Mishnah is coming to tell you that gidule truma remain like truma, Shekoyach, I have one Mishnah for that. If you're going to go and tell me that Gidulim have a din of Truma, I have another Mishnah for that as well. If you're going to go and tell me that it's also for Zorim to eat, but the Kahanim allowed to go and eat from it, we said before that Asurim Milechol, that was our original Shaila. What is Asurim Milechol? We thought that it was also to the Kahanim to eat because it remains Truma. And then we said, no, it's Asurim Lezorim, that a Zor cannot go and eat it, because in fact it retains the din of Truma Midraban. So, all of these halachas I know, what is the chiddush of that Mishnah? Ishtiku, and they had no answer. It's Omrulei, so they said now to Rav Bamasna, Nu, Midish Milach Abaha, if you ask the question, maybe you have a mahalach, maybe you want to share with us an answer. Omrulehu, yes! Hachi Omer of Sheishis, Mayasun Asun Lekayhanim, Havisilehu Behesach Adas. Oh, a brand new pshat that we didn't have until now. And that is, remember we started off, Rashi said, Asur Milechel, we thought that it was Asur to go and eat. Who was Asur to eat it?
Originally.
Okay, let's go back to the original. Look at the Rashi about 15 lines in. Vasur Milechel, right? Because so kadaitach, mishum tuma, ulekahanim. The kahanim are not allowed to go and eat it because it still retains its status of truma tameh. How? But didn't we say now that it's batel mitoras oichel, that it's tahar? Why can't the kahanim eat it? You're right. Answer the gemara: asurim lezorim. A zor is not allowed to eat from it. The shem truma still attaches to this, even though it's a brand new oichel. And Rashi later on said because it's a din midraban. Ah, so asurim lezorim means that it's osur for a yisrael mutal kahanim. Brand new pshat. No, osur means osur lekahanim. Why? Because of a new psul called psul hesach hadas. Hesach hadas means because when it comes to the din of truma, the Torah says, "Es mishmeres trumoisoi." And I learned from that mishmeres trumoisoi that you have to do a shmira. You have to be careful with all of your truma that it shouldn't become tamei. Shmira. Shmeres trumoisoi. What happens if the person was misiechdas, meaning he just left it there on the table, he didn't think about it, he went away for a few hours, he comes back? Maybe it's exactly the doubt. And that hesachadas makes it also the kehanim. So what does it have to do with our case of the Shesuli Truma? Explains Rashi, because when you took the Shesuli Truma Shenitmu and you put it in the ground, you said, sayonara, I'm going to be back.
He buried it literally.
So therefore he's obviously Mesiach Das. It's not the thing that he thinks about. I'll come back in a month, I'll see if it's growing, I'll add some water, I'll add some fertilizer, I'll do some more plowing, I'll do more pruning, more weeding. In the meantime, he's not going to be busy with this 24 hours. So therefore it becomes possible, the Hesach Das, and that's why it's also Lekehan. Oh, so that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. That even though it happens to be Tohar Milatame, you cannot go and eat him. Lekehanim can't go and eat it. because nobody watched over this truma for the last month, for the last year, ever since you replanted it in the ground. Brand new pshat. Beautiful pshat. It's not so easy. Honey, chlamand yom hesach adas psul haguf hava. Shop it. What does it mean to say? There's a machlokes now that we're going to have between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What is the essence of Hesach Hadas? That you're saying it's a psul. Is this an independent psul on its own? Mesiach Das, if I didn't think about the Truma for the last few hours, automatically it becomes possible. Or it's only Mechshash Tumah, that maybe a Tumah touched it. Where do we find this Machloikis? Didn't my Hesach Hadas, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Psul Tumah Hava? Very simple. I'm afraid that maybe during the interim period when I wasn't watching it, when I left it a besmedish and I left it on the table, maybe something, a dead nevela, nevela is always dead, but a dead sheret, maybe an isha nida, maybe someone who was tamei touched it and now becomes tamei, and therefore that Hesach Hadas made it tamei. Or Pshimin Lokish Omer Psul Hagufav. No, it's a separate psul on its own. Special din of Shmartem es Mishmeres Teru Maisai. If you were not careful about that Shmira, that's a Psul Haguf. You can ask me, what difference does it make? Azoy. There's an Afkimina. Shem Yovi Eliyovi Terena Shoymin Loi. What would happen if Eliyo Novi arrives on the scene today? And as we know, Eliyo is going to be busy with answering so many Tekus throughout Shas. Before he has a chance, I say, please, Eliyahu, just one short second. You see this truma here on the table? I was Mesiach Das for the last few hours. Can I eat it? Can I not eat it? Did it become tummy? Did it not become tummy? Eliyahu's Navi says, Kusha, you can eat it. Glad Kusha, no problem. Oh, that's if you hold the Psul Tumah Hava. However, if you hold the Psul Haguf Hava, Reb Shimon Lakish, or Yimer Psul Haguf, it's Psul Haguf, unrelated to Yotame Nishtame, you're not going to be Mesiach Das. Shem Yov Eliyov Yitarena, Ein Shoymen Loi. Even if Eliyahu Novi tells you, no Nevela, no Sheretz, it didn't touch Tumah whatsoever. Makes no difference. Just the idea that you didn't watch it. Now, obviously, a person can't be busy 24-hour days watching
it.
But you can go and put it behind a closed door, behind a closed closet, seal it nicely. And that's like any Pikodin that you put in Shmira.
Just don't put it with a Sefer Torah.
Exactly. So the point is, you can do Shmir. You don't have to carry it in your satchel wherever you go for the rest of your life, but you can go and put it into a good Shmir. The problem is, if you left it out in the open, where it might have gotten touched by anything. So Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as you can prove that nothing touched it, everything is fine. You can eat it. Shlokesh says, this is a separate psula guf. Even Eliyahu Novi tells you, no nevela, no sheretz, no nothing, still you cannot eat it. It's irreversible. Shoy. So what's the Gemara's kasha? What the Gemara's kasha is, remember we said, this new pshat that Rava Bar Masna brought to the table, and said that the reason why it's Osulechel means Osulechel Kahan, because of Hesach Hadas. If you're going to go and tell me that it's also because of Psul Haguf, that I understand. I didn't watch it for the last month or two. It was Truma all along. When I put it into the ground, you're not watching your Truma, it becomes possible because of Hesach Hadas. But if you're going to tell me that the whole Hesach Hadas maybe became Tameh. This is not maybe become Tameh. This Vadai became Tameh. And that's the reason why I put it back in the ground in the first place. It was Truma Shenitma. Madach, the new Shesila, the new planting, removed the Vadai Tumah. It's certainly going to remove any possibility of a speculative potential future Tumah because of the fact that this is a purifying process. When you purify, it's like putting into the mikveh, so to speak. Once you put into the mikveh, it's no longer Tumah. I'm not recommending and I'm not suggesting you can go and be metayer oichlan a mikveh. I'm just using that as a mushal. Just like when you go and put something, if you had a kli, which is a kli matchis, not a kli cheres, a kli matchis, which was vade tameh. And perhaps it was also suffik tameh, meaning, and the vela certainly touched it, and maybe also a sheretz, a dead sheretz, also touched it. So it might have been only tameh once, it might have been tameh twice. I put it into the mikveh, and I take it out. Madach, that mikveh is going to help to go and take away the vade tumah of the vela. It's certainly going to take away the suffik tumah of the sheretz. Avada, it doesn't make sense otherwise. See here too, Zakti Gemara. If you're telling me that when you put it into the ground, the tumah goes poof, it goes away, then certainly any tumah that's as a result of a sofik tumah, because of Hesach Hadas, will certainly go away. And that's what the Gemara said, It's great, but I still don't understand pshat in the Mishnah. Yes.
What did we say that wasn't only Durbanan that it retains its truma status?
It's truma status.
Yeah. So.
But now we're talking about tumah status.
No, I understand that, but if it comes to Hesach Hadas,
yes,
it's really not even truma anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put it into the ground.
Yeah.
It was proof, right?
One second. Mitzat ikra din menat toiru, 100% right. Vidrabon, however, we have the din of geduli truma truma, because we don't want people to do things like this and then deny the kahanim of their truma. So therefore it does have a name of truma after all. So the Morris said, until now, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, to go and tell you that even though it's now a brand new ponim chadosh is bo lekan, it's brand new oichel, it's not the old oichel, midrabon, you still have a din of truma. But the Morris went and shot down that pshat, because for that I have two other mishnayos that says gedulei truma, and even gedulei truma. So that cannot be the pshat in the Mishnah that says osa milechol. So what does it mean osa milechol? Not like we've been learning until now, osa lechol lezorim mutar lekehanim, because it's truma. No, even the kehanim are not allowed to go and eat from it. Why can they not? Because it's a new psul called hesach hadas. So if it's a total new psul, just like tum is a psul, so hesach hadas is a psul, and therefore you can go and replant it as many times as you want, but that psul haguf remains. It remains damaged goods because of the psul haguf, and that doesn't go away. It was originally truma. Since you will see hadas from that original truma, that psul remains with it forever and ever, for 1,000 years. Masha Enkein, if you hold it, the whole thing is out. Psul tumah, that possibly, sofik tumah, sure, you put it into the ground, just like it takes away the badai tumah, it'll take away the sofik tumah. Yes?
A few days ago we had that if you want to protect something to not be stolen, bury it.
Right.
Tefach, mitvach, and whatever.
Right.
Here you're burying it.
Yes.
Why is this considered hesach hadas? You're burying it not to forget about it, you're burying it to protect it and to launder it from its problematic status. Why is this considered hesach hadas? Burying it is not necessarily hesach hadas.
It's a different function. In the first case, when you're burying it, it's a shmira, and you want it to be out of the sight of a thief. So this way, it's not.
And this is out of the sight of any potential nevela or sheretz or nida.
The reason why you're burying, why you're so to speak burying, is not because of that kind of question. You're doing it because you actually, for agricultural reasons. It's a completely different.
I see a parallel here that doesn't click. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay, no, you don't have to be sorry. Now, even though the Gemara said we learned from the passing Mishmeres Trumoy Soy, which sounds like it's a din diaraisa, however, Rashi quickly says, Psul HaGufave, it's Mali Bekodshim. Whenever you use the word Mala, that typically means Idrabanan. It doesn't have to be. In fact, at the end of today's daf, we're going to have one Mala diaraisa, but typically it means Idrabanan. So the Rabbanan made this special Mala that said, you've got to be careful with all of your truma, that even if you bury it into the ground, it's still going to be a problem, because in Mesiach Das, you're not watching it, you're not. When you're putting away a pikodin under the ground, you specially dug it up and you make a safe deposit box over there and you seal it up. That's, you want to do a shmir. Here by the truma tamea, it's kavan, it's like a hepa kavan. I don't want to do shmir anymore. I don't want to worry about the truma tamea anymore. I want to get rid of it from my eyesight and from my mind. I bury it into the ground, not to have to think about it, not to have to worry about it, because it's going to be transformed into new oichel. It's going to no longer be truma, it's only going to be tamea machai. So, I think there's a distinction between the two cases. Okay. There you're burying it for the purpose of pikodin, of shmira. Here you're burying it for the purpose of not having to be shmira. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, Zokti Moravaita Eisvei. So far we have not answered our kasha, and that is the new pshat that Rav Bamaster brought, which is a very nice pshat, this psul haguf, but it only stems according to Reish Lakish, not according to Rabbi Yochanan. What the Gemara is going to do is now, for the next 10-20 lines, we're going to continue with a dialogue between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It's Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Shmuel benoishel Rabbi Yochanan bebreika oimer lulkotn ho yebein kevesh lamizbeach b'marobishel kevesh shesham ho yuzorkin psuli chatesu oif v'te'u b'terosan v'yoyze lebeisas reifo. Okay, everybody remember it in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Azara, you had this very, very large Mizbeach, and in front of the Mizbeach, you had this long kevesh, this long ramp. on the right side of the ramp, which we've spoken about not too long ago. You had that small little area, which is a small little base edeshen, where you used to go and put down the Trumas edeshen every day. True. You also put the Muriv Anoitza from the Chatas Oif, you also put it over there. All true. But we're not talking about the Mizrach side of the Kevish. Now we're talking about on the Marav side of the Kevish, the side which is closer to the Ulam and to the Hechel. So Lul Kotnoi, there was a small little window, Bei Kevish La Mizbeach, between the Kevish and the Mizbeach. Bei Marav Yishol Kevish, in the Marav side of the Kevish itself, meaning on the left-hand side of the Kevish, there was a little opening there, a little orifice or something, or whatever. Marav Yishol Kevish, Sheshom Hoyu Zorkin, they would go and place there on a temporary basis. Psuli Chatas Oif. Chatas Oif that became possible. How long would you leave those Psuli Chatas Oif? Till the next day. The Te'ubet Tzurasan. You waited until they became Lina or Noiser. Te'ubet Tzurasan is a euphemistic term. It doesn't mean necessarily that it actually turned red and green and blue and yellow. What it means to say is that it's no longer
recognizable as freshly killed Chatas Oif.
Or it means halachically it no longer has the tzura of a carbon. Now it's for sure a posel. Until now, we'll see what this Psuli Chatas Oif was in a moment. But after the next morning, now clear cut, it's noiser, it's leaner, it's posel, nothing to talk about. The Yisrael is a Sreifa. And now you're going to go and take it out to the Beis Hadeshen where you're going to go and burn. And remember we had earlier on that any type of psul on Kachi Kudishim, the base of Dasha was inside the Azara and not outside the Azara. Outside the Azara, those were Kachim Kal. Anyway, what's the question is, why did they have to go and wait until the next morning to go and burn it? If it's psul Chatzis, or if it's possible right now, what's the Shaila? So Rashi says, obviously it's talking about not your classic type of psul. For instance, if it was pigul, or if it became tome, or if it became posel biyoitze, or you did an improper malika, any one of those things, that's a psul ma'alia. You don't have to wait for a new psul. The only reason why you had to do this psulina overnight, because it's talking about the type of psul that we're talking about, the hesachadas type of psul. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi, six lines from the bottom. To Ubat Tzurasa. Hainu Psulina means leave it overnight, so that's the Psul. Ibat Tzuras Maris Basam Linas Laila Echadhu. This Ibat Tzura means just leave it over one night. Bekim Shalana Belaila Hari Noiser. Betoin Tzreif of the Nisra, you burn it. Vial Korchach. The fact that we say leave it overnight, there was no pigul. Those are not the psulim. That's a real bona fide psul. Why do you have to make a second psul? The psul that we're talking about, the psule chatas oif, is that you left it on the side and nobody was bothering it for the next few hours. And now a few hours later, hey, what about that chatas? Remember, Mrs. McGillicuddy came this morning and she brought a chatas oif, which was we should be eating it. And why are we eating it? What's going on? Nobody's looked at it for hours. It was hidden away somewhere under a ton of fat that they were going to put together on the mizbeach, and they forgot about it. Oh, see, so you have a psul hesachadas. So now, what's the shaila? If you say that the chash of this psul is psul tuma, now I understand why we're talking about this ibitzura business. The reason is because it's only a chash. It's tak apostle. It says psul echatas oif. But the psul that we're talking about is the psul of hesachadas. If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that the psul of hesachadas is not really a full fledged psul, it's a chashash. It's based on a chashash of psul tuma. Then I understand why tuma tzarasin. Don't burn it now because this might be good kosher chatas oif that the kanim should be eating. So why are you burning it? To be on the safe side, leave it overnight. Now it's certainly possible. Now it's nicer. That makes a lot of sense. However, so get back to the Gemara now. So four lines in the back. Can we just finish the question and then you'll ask your question? If you're going to go and tell me that the psul of Hesach Hadas is a chshash, speculative tumah, then I understand why. Let's wait until tomorrow morning. Maybe miraculously, maybe Eliyahu is going to come down from heaven, is going to tell us it was tar all along. Don't burn kosher kosher. Eliyam is psul aguf. If you're telling me that this is a psul, just like Yotze, just like a Malika Shaloi Kimitzvasa, like a Pigul, any one of the other psulim, so what do you have to go? Lomali Mitsura. But nah, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, Zehaklal, this is the general rule, kosher psul beigufoi. If there is a psul in the basar itself, Yisur miyad, don't even think twice. Take it right away to the base of Sreifa. If it's bedam ubebalim, top line. Bedam ubebalim means if it's the blood that got psul, for instance, it was poured out on the ground by accident, or bebalim that the balim cannot eat it because they happen to be tamei, and they cannot eat it in the moshul, it's a carbon pesach, where you can't just willy-nilly give it to anybody else, because you can only give it to the menuyim. So what are you going to have to do with it? Unfortunately, this carbon where the blood spilled out, you're going to have to burn because it's no longer kosher carbon. You can't do the Zrika Saddam. If it's because the balan became tummy and they cannot eat it, I'm sorry, we're going to eventually have to go and burn it. Don't burn it miyat. Because since it's not a psul in the bosar, it's an exterior type of psul, it's psul in the dam or in the balim, then two mitzvahs, leave it overnight, it will be safe, and then you go and burn it the next morning in the basis safe. So you see that anything which is a psul haguf, yisar miyad. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, why did the Chacham have to come up with, or why did the Kehanim have to come up with making this hole in the wall of the Kevish, and depositing there this psule chatas oif? And it must be that we're talking about because it was a Hesach Hadas type of psul, and that's why they're depositing it, waiting for the next morning. Says Rabbi Yochanan, if the reason is because of me that the psul of Hesach Hadas is not a real psul in the sense that it's mamish psul, but it's all a speculation, maybe it became tameh, then it makes a lot of sense. Don't burn it now. Maybe Eliyahu Navi will come, and even if he doesn't come, if it's kachim tayrim, you shouldn't go and be burning it. So that would make a lot of sense to go and put it there overnight, and you'll burn in the morning. But if you hold Hesach Hadas, it's just like a psul, like pigul and noiser and tameh and all the other wonderful things. If that's the case, then burn it miyad. What are you waiting for the next morning? Is the charai to me, Rabbi Yochanan, Akasha on you, Reish Lakish. We're going to come to Barry's question in a moment. Amalei, said Reish Lakish, don't ask me that Kasha from that Mishnah, because that Mishnah is Haitana, Tana de Rabba Barabu, the Yomana, Philip Pigel, Toen Ibetsura. That case of the Psul, Chatas Oit, that says Tubitsurasim, the Oit of the Basis Refa, he holds it even if it's 1,000% possible. It's pigul that had a machshava of shaloi bizmanoi or shaloi bimkoimoi, and it was possible because it was yotze and because they didn't do a good malika, etc., etc. Nevertheless, you always have to have ibitzura according to this mandiyama. He said, never burn it immediately. Always wait until the next day. What's the reason? Our Gemara doesn't go into it, and even Rashi says, Ika milzul lo yadana. See, if you look at Rashi, the second line, Tana de Rabba Baravua, Ika milzul lo yadana, and Rashi says, the time of the milzul, there's a time later on in the Masechta, Rashi's not so happy with it, so to speak. But the point is, says Reish Lakish, Enachanami, it is a psul haguf, and therefore psul haguf, according to everybody else, Yisarf miyad. The reason why that Mishnah says that they had a special opening in the wall of the Kavish, that's only according to this Mandiyama that holds that even Pigel turns Ibetzura, according to everybody else. Apparently they didn't have that hole in the wall. Fortunately, there's nobody around today that can tell us whether there was a hole in the Kavish or not. We're going to have to wait until Mashiach or until Eliyahu becomes very, very quickly in Metzushah. Anyway, so this was the first Kasha that Rabbi Yochanan asked in Reish Lakish, and that was Reish Lakish's Teretz, and now we have Barry's question.
We're talking about the problem of Hesach Hadas.
Correct.
You're saying it's speculative. Hesach Hadas.
According to Rabbi Yochanan.
Okay, so Hesach Hadas. I just want to clarify what the.
You don't want to be Mesiach Das. You want to have clarification.
Right. The Hesach Hadas is, did this become Tamei or not? Correct. Yeah. That's the question.
According to Rabbi Yochanan.
According to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so if it's in the Beis Hamikdash, it's a Rishus HaRabim.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a Suffek Tuma, Bishus HaRabim, Sveiko Tahar.
Correct.
Why is this Hesach Hadas a problem, given the location of where this this doubt, this uncertainty is occurring? It's immune to becoming tame because it's Bishus HaRabim.
Rashi says it's a mala osu b'kodshim. By kodshim, they made a special mala,
but it's actually causing more problems. I understand when you're mala and certain things, paraduma,
other things. It's the name of a psul. According to
it's only ro'oi for a very small group of people.
But even
so
still,
it has to be held on a more stringent level, no? Maybe something like that?
I don't know, but just to go in and be now burning edible food that Kohan can eat because of a mala, it's counterintuitive to me. I don't understand the mala you're doing. You're now. We're always talking about we don't want to bring kachim the base of soul. Mm-hmm. We don't want to bring kachim that's edible. We don't want to destroy things that can be used, that have utility. And here, because of this mala, we're now suddenly pushing and saying, "Oh, hes chadas." Suddenly, it's buser.
I hear you loud and clear.
It's meat that wasn't properly watched under hashgacha. It's suffik treif. Suffik nevela. I mean, it seems very odd. Here you have zrizim kohanim. Everyone's busy, and here it's suddenly. Oh, it's a mala. You suddenly got to burn it.
Graphically describe the question very, very beautifully, and I think the answer to that is. You, when you have in your own private house, you have chulin and you have truma, or you have milchus and you have fleishik. Nobody's been looking around what happened. For instance, you had an ozeret that's helping you at home, and she was cleaning in the kitchen, and you had some meat that was cooking, and then you notice that there's a bottle of milk that's open in the refrigerator. Did she pour in? Didn't she pour in? Nobody was there. Nobody knows. Can you rely on her? Can you not rely on her? It's not getting noivous. Can I eat from it? Can I not eat from it? It was a bottle of mishishin, bottle of maid, with a number it up. And then you tell me you have the identical question happened in the Bismigdish. I'm not sure. People weren't watching. Who knows what happened? Yeah. No problem. So everybody say, yeah, you see, when it comes to the Kahanim, it comes to the Bismigdish, all of a sudden we're Makel and everything.
Do you have Kohanim's Rizim in your kitchen? I don't think so.
So why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu say this special din of Mishmeres Truma Yisai? Because Hashem gave this mitzvah to this reason that they should be Zoriz, okay. And they should be Zohir, and they should be careful. But what happens if they fell down on the job, and they were not Zohir, and they were not Zoriz, and unfortunately nobody's been looking at this for the last 6 hours? Oh no, we Kohanim, what do we do? So that becomes a psul of Hesach Hadas. That psul of Hesach Hadas is maybe it became tummy, maybe it didn't become tummy according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rishlok, it's a psul of Neatzmoy. Even if we know for sure it didn't become tummy, it makes no difference.
I just want to ask the question, where did the source of the tumah come from? You're in the Beis Hamikdash, you have a chatas ha'of. Mm-hmm. The Kohanim are careful to be working with Tahara.
Very good question.
Where is the source of this tumah?
We said that there, we just introduced a new source called Hesach Hadas.
Hesach Hadas is a trigger.
You did fine. But he's saying it couldn't be. Hesach Hadas is chashash. Maybe something became tameh.
Right.
Where did the tumah come from?
Where did the tumah come from?
Did a person walk in from outside with a big sign saying "I am tameh" and he starts touching everything? Unlikely, right? So where did the tumah come from? So the answer is number one: some of these behemoths, before you had a chance to go and shech them, they saw that Kohen has that long knife over there. They go into cardiac arrest. Mendy's away in Eretz Yisrael. There was nobody to tell, and it became an avela. Right? Isn't that possible? Sure. Number two, maybe when the Kohen did, or the Shoicher did, the Shechita, after Shechita's over, we looked at the Chalif, there's a little niche. Yeah. We didn't check it correctly.
This Chatas Oaf is being done on that little corner on the ledge of the Kevesh. It's such a narrow, narrow place. And then he takes the head and he throws it across the Kevesh to the Makom HaDesh. It's so confined. It's such a remote thing. And we're saying,
there was a Sanhedrin that was asked that one of their jobs was to go and execute people, Chas V'Shalom. Mm. How often did they execute? The Gemara says that...
Once in 70 years is a Katlanis.
Oh, so what do you need a Sanhedrin for? You need a Sanhedrin, you need a framework. Maybe this hole in the wall in the Kevesh was clean, it was never used. If it was the situation of a Hesach Hadash, but it might have been.
It's a hecker to everybody, not to Hesach Hadash.
Foundational,
exactly. Okay. We don't know for sure that it was ever used. In fact, other than Tanavi Rabbi Ravua, maybe they didn't even have it, okay. Because for real bona fide psulim, it wasn't necessary. Right. Only Rabbi Ravua says it's necessary, but everybody else holds it's not. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to Imar. Hey, Svei. Another Kasher of Yerichan asked Rish Lakish, Nitma. The carbon became tamei. Oy she nifsel habasar. I don't know what nifsel means yet. We'll see soon. See. Oy she yotzechus lekama was pasul biyotzei, and I have blood left over. In other words, we shechted the carbon. The kahanim were makabel the dam in the mizrak. The kahanim are going to the mizbeach. They haven't reached the mizbeach yet. There may be a multitude of kabbalists, and maybe they're holding them aside for a moment. They're not being misiechtas; they're looking at it every 3 seconds. Right. You don't have to worry about that. But in the meantime, the basar became posel. Had to become posel because that non-existent nevela or sheretz went and touched it, or became posel through some other cause. We'll see in a moment. Or went chutz l'klai, so it became posel now. Now they make an announcement. Carbon number one from Mr. Smith unfortunately became possible. The Kahanim is saying, okay, I have the blood now in the Mizrak. Should I do Bizarik? Should not be Zarek. The Blaz Oyma Yizrak, go and do this Rika Saddam anyway. Rabbi Shua Oyma Lo Yizrak, don't do this Rika Saddam. What is the Machlokes Tolian? Our Gemara doesn't go into it, but Rashi tells us from another Gemara, because it's a Shaila, it says in the Pasuk, Abosavi Adam, and there's a Machlokes to Aydarshan. Am ein basar, ein dam, ein dam, ein basar, or do I not darshan? Rabbi Lezer doesn't hold that drasha, and he holds dam, alpha bish, ein basar. I don't care that the basar became tom, may become posel, yoytze. I could care less. I have kosher blood that nothing touched it, and everything is great. Do this rikas adam, and the person will have a good carbon. Ah, you won't be able to eat from the carbon. He won't be able to eat from the carbon. It's no better or worse than if the basar became tamei subsequent to the zrika.
The helvitzu yam, whatever they brought the carbon for, at least.
Exactly. What Rabbi Shua says, lo yizrek. Why not? Because he has a drasha im ein basar ein dam. If you have no tiki, no washi, you don't have the basar, then ein dam, then don't do the zrika. It's based on a pasuk. And therefore, there is no basar anymore because the basar became pasul, tamei pasul, or yoytze. Forget about it. Don't do this rikas adam. However, Umayder Bishur agrees that lechatchila
don't
lo yizrek. But in Zorak, if you did it b'diavad, horza shiyoguta karden. Fine. That's the end of that discussion. Now the question is, what does it mean when it says nifsal habasa? My nifsal la presumably we mean la behesach hadas. For instance, if a person had a kavana of pigel, then the entire carbon becomes pigel, not just the basar, all to the blood. So to be able to go and separate between the basar and the blood, we have to say that only the basar became, okay, so nitma, that's certainly a good case, that only became tali. The basar was possible, yeah. But what's nifsal basar, that only the basar and not the dam? L'choyre, it's our case of hesach hadas. Oh, so I have a case of Hesach Hadas. Iyam is Bishlam Mishuli Tumma Haba Hayna Demishkach Eslo Demirat Seitzit. How taka couldn't you be sure in Zorak Hurtza? You're not allowed to. Didn't we just say, Ein Basar, Ein Dam? Why are you doing this Rika? But he did this Rika. Says this, Brisa says, Rabbi Shua, once he did this Rika, it's Hurtza, it's Kusha. Who was Meratza? The tzitz is meratza. Now, as we've learned in the past, tzitz is only meratza on tumma. It's not meratza on pigel or on noiser or any other types of psulim. Only on the psul of tumma. And that being the case, if you're going to go and tell me that hesach hadas is a psul tumma based in nature, that's why it's osur, because of potential of tumma. Ah, so just like the tzitz can be meratza on vaday tumma, it can be meratza on a suffix speculative might be tumma. Eliyam b'psul gof ava. If you're telling me that this is a psul gof, just like pigle or just like any other type of real psul, now my hurtzus, and how does the tzitz help out to be meratza? In fact, the tzitz can only help for tumma, not for other psulim. Everything Gemara, so that was the raya that Rabbi Yochanan brought to his shita, that the inyan of Hesach Hadas is not a psul haguf, it's only psul of chashash tuma. Everything more, my nifsal, nifsal bitvul yoim. The word nifsal over here, when it says nitma, I nifsal abasar, it means a tvul yoim. Tvul yoim means a sheni v'tuma, touch the kodshim, and that's how it became posel, and that's what the tzitzis maratza, and therefore the chetchil etakanish, and the medieval is good. Frank Timara, ihochi ayin v'tuma. So why are you repeating yourself twice? We already said nitma. Oy nifsa. We have two different types of tuma. What means two different types of tuma? The first tuma we're talking about that an avatuma touches, like the sheretz or the veil, or rishu tuma touched it. Here we're talking about that a tvulyoim touched it. So vus is a tvulyoim. Tvulyoim is a din of a shame. And a tvulyoim is a din of a shame. He makes the kachim into a shlishi. Ah, so that's the chiddush. Even by the shlishi also, you do the zrika. Don't do the zrika, but you did do the zrika. And well, I still don't understand. Right. So what's the difference with the Rishon, the Tumah, Shein, the Tumah, Shlishi, the Tumah, Tumah, exactly. Zok the Toisvis Rid, that the Pshat in the Gemara is that there is Taka two different types of Tumah. Because here when the Tvul Yoim touched it, it became Possel, but it did not become Tumah. What do you mean that when we come to Apostle not Tameh? Because although we always say that when it comes to Chulin, it goes to Lasheni. And by Truma, it goes to Lashlishi. And Karshim, it goes to Ravi. Says the Tosis, really, that's only in a case where, that means it's a Machloikis, he says the Machloikis are Meir and the Rabbanan, but we're going according to Rabbanan, not according to Meir, a Mishnah Mesechtis Parah, that this din that it becomes a Ravi from a Shlishi, only if the Shlishi is a full-fledged Shlishi. What do you mean a full-fledged Shlishi? You had your Sheretz that was Moshul was an Av. It touched a Kli, which became a Rishon. That Kli touched the Moshul Oichlin that became a Sheni. And the Oichlin touched a Mashkin that became a Shlishi. And now that Shlishi goes and touches, it becomes a Ravi. Yeah, Mashkin. But here's the one, a Tvulyoin. Tvulyoin, by definition, is a very weak, diluted form of tumah, because the person already went to the mikvah. We're just waiting for Herif Shemesh and Yetzir Shemesh. Another few minutes, another hour or two, he's going to be taught.
Not for kachim.
Oh, so that's now the machloikis between the Meir and the Rabbanan. What's the status of that tful yoim? Does that tful yoim, although it can make a shlishi, but it's such a weakened form of shlishi, can it make a revi? It goes according to the Rabbanan that hold that by kachim, like you're saying, Uri, shkoyach for coming today. Even by kachim, when normally goes to revi, but if it's the shlishi is a result of a tful yoim, it is so weak, it does not make a revi. Ah, so then it's taka separate category. Eisvei nitma means basa then became tamei, and it's so tamei that it can go and transmit the tumah to something else. Oh, you should nifsal abasar. It didn't have a din of tumah, it had a din of psul, meaning that it was a shlishi, nifsal al yidei tvul yoim, and therefore it cannot transmit the tumah. The tumah stops here. Or a case of yotza. In other words, a whole bunch of cases. Now, it's true that nifsal abasar is less than nitma, yesh b'chlal masayim mana, but it is a separate category. This is a category of tumah, this is a category of psul, this is a category of yotze. All of these things we have the machlok between Reb Lezer and Reb Shura. Reb Lezer says, you can do the zrika l'chadchel, I'm sure you cannot do the zrika l'chadchel. But if you did the zrika, then it is still good. So bottom line, it says in Gemara, you thought Rabbi Yochanan that the nifsal that we're talking about is mitzad hesachadas. And if you want to bring the right hesachadas, mitzad chashash tomo. And that's why it's maratz and everything's good. No, nothing to do with that. It has to do with the tful yom that touched it. And that's why the tzitz is maratz. And not with hesachadas. And if we have no raya whatsoever, Rabbi Yochanan, from this mishnah, this price. So we concluded two rais of Rabbi Yochanan, and each time Rish Lakish was matcha, was doicha the rai. But we come back to our original Mishnah that we started off with, the two apparent brothers, sons of Reb Ovin, learning the Mishnah. It says, Asur Milechol, and the Gemara said, who is it Asur Milechol to? And the teret so far is that even the Kehanim cannot go and eat it. Why? Because it became possible to have Sechadas. And the Gemara said, that's only good according to Reish Lakish. It's not good according to Reb Yochanan, because of the whole basis of the Isser of Hesachadas, the Psul, is based on a chashash tuma. Then madach, the shesila, takes away the real 100% tuma. Certainly should take away the sobbing tuma. So we didn't give an answer to that. So what's pshat in that mishnah? is kisolik rovin omelish maite kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah. He repeated the gam teshtikol Torah before Rabbi Yirmiyah. The omer Rabbi Yirmiyah was not very charitable. He says, "Babaloi tipshoi, you Babylonians, you tipshim, mishem diyasvi be'ara dechashoicha, because you live in a dark valley." Yeah, they lived in the valley between the mountains, and therefore it was dark down below. Have a wonderful day. If you come tomorrow, we'll be delighted. Have a wonderful fast and a good Shabbos. All the best. Yom Bavloi tipshoi mishem diyasvi be'ara. Because you live in the dark lands, I'm reading Shmaitzim and Machashki. You go and say dark shtikl Torah, meaning you should go and say enlightening shtikl Torah, not a dark shtikl Torah that you have all these questions. Don't you know about the other halach of Rish Lakish? Not the Hesach Hadas one. The Rish Lakish Bishim Raboishia. That what may hachag shenitmu? What is this all about? This mehachag is referring to the special Nisach HaMayim that they only did on Sukkot in the Beis Mikdash. What happens if those Nisach HaMayim waters became Tameh? Well, any water that becomes Tameh, you do Hashaka by touching the waters of the Mikvah. As soon as it touches one another, it's Metayer the Mayim. So any type of water. We don't say that by other Mepeis, by water. Water that became Tameh because of the Vela, Sheretz, whatever. You go and have that water touch the waters of the Mikvah and it becomes purified. Here, however, says Rish Lakish, Meyachag Shenitmu, they were already designated for Meyachag, for Nisach HaMayim. They became Tameh. Heishik v'yachach Hekdishon, if you first did the Hashaka, and then after that you said, I am Makdish it, how are you Makdish the Nisach HaMayim? We're going to see it, one second, we're going to see in the Gemara, a Shaila where they're talking about Hekdishon Bepeh, or Hekdishon Bekli, did he only go and say Bepeh, I hereby designate you and consecrate you and makdish you for Nisach HaMayim, or do you put in a kli? That's going to be a shaila in another few lines. Stay tuned. But if he did, in other words, these waters which he wanted to use for the mayim on the mizbeach, for the Nisach HaMayim, they unfortunately became tameh. Somebody told him, no problem, go shnell to the mikvah. He shikun, he put in the mikvah, he did a shaka. V'yachach yitishan, and now he says, okay, I makdish them, either the peh or the kli, to hoyden, you can use them for Nisach HaMayim. However, Higdishon, V'yachach Heshikon, they were tummy waters. And someone told me, you can still use them, but you have to go to the mikvah. Oh, great! I hereby am makdish them from Nisach HaMayim, either Bepeh or Bekli, as we'll see in a moment. And after that he did the Ashoka, Tameim, they remain tummy. Great, I don't understand why. Mechdi Zriya Ninu, the Gemara calls Zriya, that is if you're planting through the Hashaka, the tummy dikka waters you're putting it into the new waters. Mm-hmm. Similar in concept to planting the Shasili Truman, the Amud Aleph, here planting the Meyachag into new waters, you're doing Hashaka. Is what difference what the order is? The bottom line is I had a shaka in the mikvah star. What do I see from this? Alma ein zriya lihegdish hachanami ein zriya l'truma. If you were mazriya, meaning if you did the hashaka when it was still chulin, that works. But once it becomes hegdish, you want to do hashaka now, that makes a bizoyan for the kodshim. People say it was damaged goods, it became tamei, and you try to resurrect it and regenerate it by going and putting it and planting it into the hashaka. But if you did it before it became hegdish, oh, we do that all the time. It becomes tamei. You touch it to the hegdish, to the mikvah waters. But once it's hegdish, and that's again a malish also be hegdish that they don't allow for the zriya. So here too, hachanami ain't zriya l'truma, the truma that we spoke about on the Amud Aleph, where you wanted to go and remove all the impurities by going and planting it. Once it has the shem truma, even though I put it into the ground, it still retains its name of truma, and that's the chiddush of the Amud Aleph. Not the chiddush has nothing to do with Hesach Hadas. Put Hesach Hadas. Be Mesir Das from that teretz. What the chiddush of the Mishnah on the Amud Aleph is that Zriya doesn't help by the Truma, and therefore, even though you put it into the ground, and you would think, oh, now it's Truma Tahira, it's Torah Malatameh, however, you still doesn't have the full degree of Tahara because it's a special mala that they did by Kodshim and by Truma.
Why is it foul? Because they did it by Hegdish, they did it by Truma. Hegdish is mala. Truma is in the Gula, it's the Medina. It's not necessarily the same level.
If you look at Rashi, six lines, seven lines into the wide lines, you see it says Ein Zri the Hegdish, the Tarei the Kach, to go and put the Hashok in the
Mekhachim.
Hachanami Ein Zri the Truma, the Mala exactly. So they made the same Mala here by Truma that they made the Karchim. Oh, now we understand the Pshat in the Mishnah. Yosef Adimivik Amalah Lahashmaitse, he repeated the Shnigal Torah. Amalah Abayis, Abayi wanted to know the question that we raised earlier. Hegdishim Bekli Kamar, what was the Hegdish of the Nisach HaMayim? Was in the klishores al bepeh loy ovid rabbanan mala. If the whole kedusha was the only kedusha bepeh that he said, I want this to be in the sechamayim. Maybe there you could be mashikit even after he was makdish bepeh. Or you didn't bepeh nami ovid rabbanan mala. Even if he only did the kedushas peh. Now what's the difference between kedushas peh and kedushas kli? Rashi says kedushas peh is a kedushas damim. Kedushas klishores is a kedushas haguf. So we want to know when the chacham said that the hashaka will not work. Will be only after it's a kedushas haguf that they put it, that they actually put the wine into a kli shareis, or even before that, did they make that maila? Amalei zule shemati. It's a very good question. I didn't hear the answer, but kiyoyz b'shemati. But I heard a separate, similar question. The amr b'bo amr b'yochana. And no mishenitmu. What happens if you have grapes that became tummy? Doruchon v'yachakach hegdishon. If first you tread on them to get the juice out, and then after that you will makdish them to hoyrim. Then the wine or the juice that comes out will be tohor. Hegdeshim yachak dorchan. However, if he was makdish the end of them first, and then he tread on them to mayim, then the wine that comes out would be tameh. Now, what means the hegdishan? We want to use it for nisachayayin. Oh, so what happens if he's dorchan yachak hegdeshon toyer? Hegdeshim yachak dorchan is tameh. Now the question is, which is parallel to the case we just had now with the mayim.
Right.
The only difference is by the mayim you can declare was it just a kedushas hapeh or kedushas haguf that you put it into a kli. However, anovim the kedushas peh ninu. Anovim is only kedushas peh. Rashi says if you would take all these anovim and you would put it into a kli shoris, nothing would happen because a kli shoris is only makdish dober ha roi loy, not a dober she'ena roi loy. And these anovim are not roi. You're not makriv. Anovim are as a carbon. You do are your makriv wine. You are nisachayayin for sure.
Kur maybe.
Also after it becomes wine and then you put in the kli shoris. Yeah, but it's still anovim kedusha peh. And so therefore says the Gemara, you see a raya from the case of Anovim where the Kedusha is only Kedusha Sepeh, so that must be the same thing by Nisach HaMayim, even if only the Kedusha Sepeh Mala Osu. Amr Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef, you have no raya. Anovim Kam, you're trying to bring a raya from grapes. The cape of the grapes was not a case of Kardshim, Hakman Abishal Truma Askinan. The Kedusha's Peh did who? Kedusha's Kli Damya. The only way that you can go and make Truma is Bepeh. I can't go and put it into a Kli and say, oh, presto, now becomes Truma. I have to say Bepeh. So therefore, that's the legal equivalent. The Peh over here is the Kli over there. Avalhani, Deboi Kli. However, by Nisach Hayayin or Nisach Hamayin for the Mizbeh, will you taka need a Kli? Maybe Peh over the Manamala. So I taka don't know. So therefore, the Rai that we tried to bring now is not a good Torah, and therefore we're left with an Iboi Dola Yivshita when we're talking about the Hikdishan. It's talking about Hikdishan Bekli or Bepeh, Chveis Mishan.
Also, with Hikdishan Bepeh, you can have, you can ask Hatara, you can go, Hikdishan is like a Neder, you can go and say, oh, if I had known this would become a Takala, I wouldn't have,
and therefore,
so it's not parallel. Once you physically put into Klisharis, it's irreversible.
Okay. So Gemara says like Dorchan Vafilu Tuva. So now we're focusing on just this, the details of Rabbi Yochanan. We just finished saying Rabbi Yochanan a moment ago. Anovim shenitmu. You have anovim that became tameh, and then you tread on it, and then afterwards you makdish it. Then tohirim, the juice that comes out is tohar. Yishvachan Dorchan is tameh. I don't understand how can you talk about the juice coming out being tohar? Didn't you tell me the anovim are tameh? So this, of course, gets into our Gemara of yesterday,
right.
Where the Gemara said this is a machloikis, whether you say that the juice inside the anovim is mifkid bikidi,
right.
Or you say it's nivlabli. But if you hold this mifkid bikidi, it means it's just there in the container, didn't become tummy. Now, what do you have to do to make sure it doesn't become tummy when you step on the anovim? So Rabbi Yochanan said yesterday, make sure not to go and use more than a kibbeah. because if you use a kebeya or less, then you're going to go and tread on it. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan said you have to use pochas mi kebeya, because I'm afraid if you say kebeya mechubenas, you might use more than a kebeya. Oh, but here it said, Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything about a kebeya over here. He just said, Rabbi Yochanan, even a lot, and here's just mashma. Although this Gemara didn't bring it, but they were relying on our... After all, we only learned it yesterday. We didn't learn it 3 years ago, so we rely on our memories, and we mean Takapav Mikanei. Yesterday's Gemara is that it touched a Rishon. Tehavlu inu sheni, they become a sheni letuma. Hoch in the nogu b'sheni, they touched a sheni, tehavlu shlishi, they became a shlishi letuma. So what's the difference? It becomes a sheni, it becomes a shlishi. Remember, we're talking about truma over here. If you're talking about truma, truma only goes to a shlishi. It doesn't go beyond that. So it's talking about the anovim were already shlishis. And therefore, even if you dorchan a million of these anovim together, and you tread on them, and it's going to be vats and vats full of wine. They're all going to be tor because a shlishi doesn't make a revi by truma. Fine. With this, we've entered the shtickle. From here until the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to give three simple examples that there's an inyan that they made a special mala either by kodshim or by truma. Omer of Afanana Mitinin. Afanana Mitinin means that they made special malis. What is special malis? Benosan Alamayim Chaim El Kelly. Now this is talking about making mechatas. How do you make mechatas? Mechatas means to spritz on people that came tummy. You go and take ash, you put it into a kli. And then the posse says, Benosan Olam, you put on top of it, Mayim Chaim El Kelly. That means Mayim from a Mayon, from a natural spring. So now we have two drushes about this pasuk, and the two drushes are contradictory. The first drush is it says Mayim Chayim should take chiyusan b'kli. That means chiyusan b'kli, that you have to take the ash inside the container and take that container over to a mayon. You see a natural spring that's coming out of the earth. Take one to the other and let the mayon waters go directly into the kli. Chiyusan, chiyusan means when it's still alive and kicking and moving, Mayim Chayim, into the kli. However, it also says the nasan olav. Nasan olav means you place the water. The nasan al meklushin inu. That sounds like you already put it into another container. You had somebody else go down to the mayan there in the middle of the forest. He collected some water there from the mayan, and then he comes here and venasan olav, and now he pours into this new container with the ash. Didn't you just say that it has to be mechubarin coming directly from the mayan? Make up your mind. Does it come from the mayan, or can you have it already a second stage and it went into a kli in between? Ella says, "Imaramala mitzat ikra dinavada." You can do v'nasim mayim chaim el keli. You can go and take a middle kli and pour it into another kli. That's okay. Says Rashi, "Mal ba'almud rabbanon shetichiusam bekli." I a posse. It's only an asmachta. It's not a real drush. It's an asmachta. A mala by kodshim. Go and take it directly from the mayim. That's one mala. Omrav Simon Rashi of Ananim Tina. I'll bring you another mala. Tovu v'ola oichel mamaser herav shimshay oichel betruma betruma in bekodshim loy. A person who was tummy, he went to the mikveh. After he comes to the, goes into the mikveh, he can immediately after the mikveh during midday he can already eat maaser sheni because the mikveh is fine. Herf Shimshoy, he has to wait until nightfall to eat truma, like the first mission of Mesechta's Brachas. So you got to wait for truma until Herf Shemesh. Betruma in bekodshim loy. However, you can only eat truma if you can't eat kodshim. Now, who cannot eat kodshim? Those people that are mechusare kapara,
right,
like the Zab and the Zav and the Yeledis and the Tzoyra, they're mechusare kapara. They have to wait until they bring their kabbalas. Why can't they? Toru, etzach tor. Oh, it's a mala, special din of a mala. Hachanavi b'mala, special mala din b'kodshim. Now this mala is not a din d'rabbanan. This is minatoyra, the mechusari kapora, not allowed to go and eat kodshim until they bring their kabbanas. So Rashi says, ein hachanavi yafil midaraisa, the chachom, that the Rabbi Mishloim also made special malois b'kodshim, that even though the person is totally tor, he can eat as much trum as he wants, but he can't eat kodshim because of this special mala. This is a biblical mala, not a rabbinic minatoyra.
It's a d'rabbanan midaraisa.
Oh. Rashi, the third mala, Afananami Tanina, Habasar, we had this already not too long ago. It says in the Basar, Vahabasar, Kotoy Yerkel Basar, that word Vahabasar is extra. That Eitzim Levoina can also become Tamei. The Frank Timara, Eitzel avoyna b'nei tetmuyin inu. After all, they're neither kalim, nor are they ochlin, so l'chayra the din of tumah should not apply. Elamal chum made, although it says v'habasa, this is a din, a drasha, it's an asmachta, v'habasa comes to be marba, even eitzel avoyna, that they are deemed to be as if they're food, achanem imala. Chibis ha-kodesh. Chibis fine. So the point is that we have at least three separate cases that they made special malas by kodeshim. So one of the malas that we had before is make sure that you are mashik first and then you're makadish the waters subsequently. Don't be makadish first and then afterwards. And then we had similarly by the anovim, make sure that you're doirich them first and after you're makdish and not makdish and afterwards doirich. And then we had now these three separate malas to go and tell you, side by the mechatos, side by the person who toivled, the machsuri kapara, side by eitzim levoina, that they're special malas. And this hopefully addresses your question, Barry, as well. Why are we concerned about hesach hadas, special malas, either midrabon or midnatoira, in the Bismigdish, to make sure that everything is done to the maximum of Kedusha Vatar. Avada and Avada, if there was a case that maybe a dead sheretz touched it, I see the dead sheretz and I see the kachim, did they touch one another? Sheretz, tell me what happened. As toit, I asked the korban, also is not alive. No kahanim around at that time. Then you're right. Then we have a sofik tumur shesurabim in the Azorah, sveikoi tohar. But if people left it sitting there without watching it, ooh, hesachadas, saikun tribyuchim, saikun trishlokish, that's a psul, whether it's psul aguf or psul shashtuma, whatever, of it's a psul. So that's also a malad made by kachim, and therefore, hesachadas makes it possible. We'll stop over here, boys, to continue tomorrow.